Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show with your hosts, Bigger and Briggs.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and at AsylumFantasySports.com.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome back into the Asylum, and it is another jam-packed week because we are going from the Elite Eight, counting down from the final eight to the best fantasy football player of 2015. And Rick, I know the fans are asking, how do you know this? Because we are Fligger and Briggs.
It's what we do.
It's
kind of our bit, is about all I can tell you. So taking it down from 64, got it down to the Elite Eight. Some tough matchups here, Rick, in the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. What better way? You know, any donkey can sit down and just make a list and say, I think so-and-so is going to be the number one at whatever position this year. We don't play that junk, Rick. We sit down, we match them up, mano a mano, tournament style, NCAA style, and we make them fight it out. We make them earn who's going to be number one, and we're going to determine that here tonight.
Yes, indeed. And looking briefly, before we get into the matchups, we have a number one versus a number two seed. So the East bracket went chalk, basically.
Yeah,
pretty
with the finals. Chalky.
The Midwest, we have a number one and a number three. In the West, we have a number one and a number three again. And in the South, it is a number four versus a number two. So a little bit of a shakeup in the South anyway.
Yeah, we had Eddie Lacy go out early there, I believe. Was it to his teammate, Rick, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, he did.
I don't have the bracket in front of me. You'll have to be the official announcer of the bracket here tonight. Well, Rick, let's do it. We've only got an hour. We've got a lot of games to play. We've got to crown a champion. And I have a feeling a lot of these are going to take a little more discussion than the earlier rounds.
Yeah, I have a feeling of that. And let's go right into it with the East matchup. It's a number one versus a number two. The number one guy really emerged last year, Le'Veon Bell. And he came into his own, a very potent offense with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know what? Demaryius Thomas, the number two seed, he's right there, still in that Denver offense. Peyton Manning, I know, is not the Peyton Manning of old. But as we see, they're still very potent, and Demaryius Thomas is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is so tough, Rick. This might be the best matchup in the Elite Eight, in my opinion. This is a guy in Demaryius Thomas who probably should be the number one fantasy wide receiver in the league this year. Although the numbers don't always tend to bear that out. You know, Manny Sanders gets plenty of work. For this one, Rick, I'm going to start it out. This is a tough matchup, but I think based on positional value, I think is what this one comes down to for me. There are three or four guys I would be just as comfortable with than I would with Demaryius Thomas. You give me Dez Bryant. Give me Antonio Bryant. Antonio Bryant. He went to Pitt, if I'm not mistaken. He had a cup of coffee with the 49ers. But we're not here to discuss old Pitt Panthers. We're not quite to that point of the show yet. There's enough guy. I think Le'Veon Bell, Rick, barring injury, going into 2015 – is head and shoulders above anybody ranked behind him in terms of running backs. Maybe Matt Forte matches up just in terms of sheer volume of work, in terms of catches. But this is a guy who can run for 4.5 a pop, and I don't see any reason he couldn't catch 80 balls this year. Le'Veon Bell is at another level, and I think the Steelers' offense is at a completely other level. And I think this is Le'Veon Bell in what's a good matchup, what's a tough matchup, but pulling away at the end. I'm very, very comfortable with Le'Veon Bell going into the Final Four.
You know, Le'Veon Bell came into his own last year, and I think Pittsburgh offense is going to be every bit as potent, if not better, this coming year. And Le'Veon Bell, you know, we already talked about Peyton Manning. We think he's kind of on the downslide. I mean, we all know that. And you know, Peyton Manning, his stats are slipping towards the end of the year. And they've done that the last couple of years. Demaryius Thomas was outscored by Le'Veon Bell in PPR formats last year. I think Pittsburgh's actually going to at least stay on the same level offensively. And Denver, even if they stay the same, but I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back. I think Le'Veon Bell, not only does he outscore him at the running back position, but as a running back.
Right.
And there's so few of those compared to, as your, to your point, the value within the wide receiver. I have to agree with you. I'm going Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, it's tough. And if I had any hesitation with Le'Veon Bell, it's going to be this. And we'll probably discuss this a lot over the offseason. All right, he did it once. You know what I mean? Can he repeat that? I mean, this is a guy. He had 83 grabs for 854 yards. If my number two fantasy wide receiver came out with that number, I would be ecstatic. And then you add on another 1,300 yards rushing on top of it. This guy is Matt Forte, but a better runner. A few less grabs, 17, 18 less catches. But I think this guy has to be represented in the Final Four.
Yeah, and you know, Dez Bryant is a touchdown machine, but I think Le'Veon Bell double digits in touchdowns last year with the 1,300 yards rushing, maybe more. He was out a couple games. The one thing I do take pause in a little bit is, you know, you have to take in, like, I guess the injury factor. You can't count on them being hurt unless it's Darren McFadden. Demaryius Thomas doesn't seem to get hurt.
No.
He's there. He's a tough competitor. And that's why this matchup to me was close.
But I
still have to go Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I think that we're just doing a great disservice if you don't have Le'Veon. So Le'Veon Bell, the first member of the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament Final Four. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Now, do we have time to get in another bracket?
We can get it announced here and
okay.
Get
we
started.
Have a in the Midwest region, we have a number one seed and a number three seed. And ironically, which is obviously a first, and we were actually shocked by it when we first came across it, I think, in the Sweet 16. Another Steeler.
Yeah, we're gonna come off like a bunch of homers here, I'm afraid.
But
let's
be
honest.
Certainly not.
All right, let's be homers for a minute. Did you ever think, let's say in 1995, 96, 97, with those old Bill Cowher teams,
right,
that the Pittsburgh Steelers would ever have the, in my mind right now, the best fantasy running back and the best fantasy wide receiver in the league? This is a Steelers team I'm not used to seeing.
I agree. And this is a wide receiver that – in the entire NFL, in fantasy circles, was only outscored last year by Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck. That's it.
That's some impressive.
So, not Peyton Manning, yeah, not right. DeMarco Murray.
You're saying he outscored Peyton Manning is what you're telling me. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Exactly. Now, he's going up against Marshawn Lynch. And this is a guy that last year at this time, we were talking about, you know, man, he's crazy enough. He may retire.
He might not even play.
May not play. We don't know what to do. Really weren't even sure how to rank him. And what does he do? He just goes out and that's right, because no talking does you anything. Over 1,300 yards, 17 total touchdowns. Hey, the guy's a beast, and you just can't help it.
Marshawn agrees.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, this is well, I'll tell you what, Rick. Let's go ahead and we'll break here. We'll break this one down. It's the Elite Eight building to the Final Four of the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. It will continue right after this. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, wrapping up the Elite Eight of the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. Rick, we got a tough matchup at hand right now. The one seed Antonio Brown trying to fight off your boy, number three, Marshawn Lynch.
You know, and there's a couple of questions that enter my mind when I look at this matchup. Number one, can, you know, Pittsburgh offense maintain the level that they're at? Look, we also saw an emergence of Martavis Bryant. You still have Marcus Wheaton. Can they maintain that where Antonio Brown can stay in the stratosphere that he's at? Also, with the arrival of Jimmy Graham, does that help or does it hurt Marshawn Lynch? I mean, I think overall, I think it helps the Seattle offense. Oh. But we're talking individual.
An understatement.
Yeah, but I mean, we're looking at individual, you know, fantasy players. Is it going to help him in the long run, touchdown wise? You know, et cetera, et cetera. So those are basically the biggest questions. I think to me, the one that has the chance for the biggest drop off is Marshawn Lynch. I think Jimmy Graham can hawk touchdowns from him, and he's not as young as Antonio Brown.
Right.
And he's a very, very physical running back.
And he's nuts. Let's not forget that.
Well, which is a good thing, yeah, which is a positive.
Yeah. I mean, the man's a lunatic. Let's make no mistake about it.
But that's why that makes the matchup even closer, right, in my mind.
Maybe. For me, this one isn't close at all. It really is. Love Marshawn Lynch. That's my boy. I got a whole sound bank here just to Marshawn Lynch. I love it. I love his antics. I love the crazy side of him. I really do. Rick, Antonio Brown had 129 catches last year. Let that sink in for a minute. 129 catches. And along with that 129 catches, he averaged 13 yards per catch. Equaled Marshawn Lynch in touchdowns with 13. Antonio Brown returns punts. If your league will give you that touchdown, and a lot of leagues do, he had another touchdown on top of that. Here's a guy, look, is he going to catch 129 again? Probably not. That was an absurd year. You ask the question, and it's something you have to wonder. That's not the general identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and can they continue to do it? For all the reasons Le'Veon Bell's in the Final Four right now, Antonio Brown is benefiting from Le'Veon Bell. You got a legitimate running game. You got that underneath threat. But where Antonio Brown gets his numbers, Rick, you can't think, I'm guessing, of – I'm sure there were – but to think in your mind on the big plays Antonio Brown has made last year, can you think of more than one or two where Ben took a seven-step drop, threw a deep ball down the sideline, and Antonio Brown brought it in? No.
Right.
He is the perfect complement for all that nonsense that Ben Roethlisberger likes to do and that makes Ben Roethlisberger who he is. Scrambling around, extending plays. This is when he gets open. You see him how many times, Rick, catch a ball, underthrown, 40 yards downfield. And there isn't a guy within 15 yards of him. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how you let Antonio Brown get away from you. He is the perfect complement to Ben Roethlisberger in the way he plays the quarterback position. Then when he gets the ball in space, he is so fast. He is so elusive. 13 touchdowns, I have seen no issue with him repeating that success. 129 catches might be a little lofty. He's got to have 100 catches again. He just has to. And this matchup, this isn't even about any issues with Marshawn Lynch. It's just Antonio Brown from a pure number standpoint, from a pure fantasy scoring standpoint, is so far above and beyond what Marshawn Lynch, what the top end of Marshawn Lynch can be. This one isn't even close to me. This one's kind of a dud. I think Antonio Brown backs it. I was actually hoping Lynch didn't slip past Dez Bryant. I'd like to have seen that matchup. But in this matchup, I think Antonio Brown moonwalks right into the Final Four.
I have to agree with you. This is easily the easiest Final Four decision. It was a cakewalk for Antonio Brown. Look, everything you said, you take in about Marshawn Lynch, you take in, and it's true. I mean, the guy's a beast, and he's going to have a good year, I'm sure. But he's getting on the wrong side of age.
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham's in town.
I do fear that's going to cut into Lynch's touchdown.
I do, too.
Because that's where Graham does his work, is down inside the
tank. I think Antonio Brown is a candidate for over 100 catches. Again, I see no reason why he's not at least 95. And I think he's comfortably over 100. I just don't see where he can take a step back that would let him lose to someone like Lynch. No,
if he takes
respect.
A 20% step back, 20%, Rick, he'll have 105 catches.
Exactly.
I mean, just the ceiling. I just snorted. Did
exactly.
You hear that?
I mean,
I'm a broadcast professional. I just snorted into the microphone.
Well, we could call that chortling.
Chortling, yes. Yeah, I'm so excited about Antonio Brown, I'm snorting like a pig over here.
the chortling. I guess that's chortling.
And I'm snorting. So
but, yeah, you're snortling.
And snorting. That's what you get on this show.
Okay, well, I mean, we have Antonio Brown is the second Final Four. And you know what? We will not have two Steelers in the finals because they will face each other in the next in the final four matchup.
It'll be a civil war in the Final Four. Well, that rhymed. You get that?
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
I hope you don't snort on that one. Now, I think this is the most interesting matchup of them all. This is the West. This is the number one seed, Jamal Charles, against Aaron Rodgers, number three. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, a three seed, you know, basically by virtue of being a quarterback, still led all fantasy scores last year. This guy is remarkable. Had 38 touchdowns, only 5 picks last year. Tack on another 2 rushing touchdowns. He had 40 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. And he can run almost 300 yards rushing. He's going to be over 4,000 yards passing. He might be 4,200. He might be 4,900. But he's going to be in there somewhere. I tell you what, Jamal Charles, I love Jamal. You know I love Jamal
That's
Charles.
Your boy.
2 years ago, I predicted him, and lo and behold, he was just phenomenal.
He won this tournament 2 years ago.
I see Kansas City being a little more potent. The thing I like about Rodgers over Charles is it seems that Charles's sleight of build starts to tell on him after a while. Banged up last year. You know, he's very shifty, he's very elusive, but he's that type of back. He gets a good lick, and sometimes he tends to miss a few games. Aaron Rodgers had that one 2 years ago, what, with a broken collarbone and so forth. That's basically all you see out of him. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers, an upset. I love Aaron Rodgers going into this year.
Rick, I thought we were going to argue about this one, but here we are again, 3 out of 4. I agree 100%. Look, Jamal Charles, love to have him. He's my number one back. I'd be thrilled. Look at the numbers last year, Rick. 206 attempts. That's pretty low. Now, I know he's banged up a lot, a whole lot. 1,000 yards, so you're right around 5 yards carry. Only 9 touchdowns, 40 catches. I know it was injury-shortened, but he had a pretty pedestrian year.
Right.
They bring in Jeremy Maclin. I think Andy Reid's going to want to throw that ball around a little bit. Nile Davis had a lot of success in that offense last year. I think Jamal Charles has a good year, a semi-big year. But I think Davis works himself into that offense enough to where I think Jamal Charles comes back to earth a little bit. He's not going to get 300 or 400 touches. It's not going to happen. You can write down, save for God forbid, and we can't predict this, God forbid Aaron Rodgers has some sort of injury. Write down 4,000 yards. That's right. The baseline.
Yeah.
Rick, that's the baseline.
I agree.
Over 30 touchdowns, you can guarantee it. And I think he has, I think where he got himself seated, and you look back to our previous two tournaments, you saw the quarterbacks ranked a little lower. Because for a while, it seemed, there was this big mash, this big conglomerate of Aaron Rodgers, of Peyton Manning. You know, for this year, you could argue of Andrew Luck and of Drew Brees. Drew Brees has stepped back. I think Peyton Manning's. I don't know if these guys have stepped back, but Aaron Rodgers has so far exceeded these guys. He has set himself apart. There used to be a discussion, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees. That's not a discussion anymore. It's not even – they're not within 2 rounds of each other.
And one of the big things about that, Rick, I mean, it's a good point. You talk about Drew Brees. I don't necessarily say Drew Brees has really stepped back. Look, 4,900 and some yards, almost 5,000 yards again last year. But – everybody save Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we're talking Aaron Rodgers. 5 picks.
Right.
6 picks. Whatever the case may be. These other guys, double digits.
Right.
You know, that's something to be said. And going back to Jamal Charles, 5 receiving touchdowns last year. Alex Smith threw 18 touchdown passes. 0 to wide receivers. He's throwing them to somebody other than wide receivers and Jamal Charles.
Right.
And, I mean, to me, that is...
That's the Andy Reid offense is what that
trend. Is. Yeah, that's Andy Reid offense. That is a trend. That wasn't because, you know, well, they brought in Jeremy Maclin because the wide receiver core was bad. granted, it wasn't the best in the league, but, you know, Dwayne Bowe has caught some touchdown passes in his day.
A few.
And I can't not believe in 16 games, well, the 1 year, a couple years ago, two, 3 years ago, he had like 17.
Well, it was rookie year, and he put his name on the map. But fine, right.
You get my point.
This offense isn't going to score a lot. They're not going to hand the ball to Jamal Charles 25 times a game. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball 30 times a game.
And they've kept that offense intact.
100% intact with all the question marks around, with all the free agents dealing with. That's what they have. I think Aaron Rodgers wins this one. Love Jamal Charles, but these are the tough decisions you get. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be a tough out in this tournament. We know I'm not big on pumping up quarterbacks when compared to other positions. But we got to take a break here. Rick, congratulations. Aaron Rodgers, welcome to the Final Four. We'll be back with the final regional, complete the Final Four right after this.
Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. We are Fleeger and Briggs, and we are in the final matchup to get the last member of the Final Four. It's the South Region, Rick. And I tell you what, this is another tough one. Mr. Odell Beckham has emerged as a four seed, and he's taken on last year's champion, Matt Forte.
Yeah, I mean, for all the reasons, for everything I said about Le'Veon Bell, you could pretty much say the same for Matt Forte. You know, trade some rushes and some rushing yards for an extra, 17 catches? I believe he had 100 catches last year, if I'm not mistaken, right? 101. If I'm not mistaken, Odell Beckham is an emerging force in this league. Here's the deal. These are two bad offenses. I think both these guys are bad. Odell Beckham is just spectacular. I sometimes wonder, though, Rick, and you wouldn't think it in today's NFL, but did he catch NFL defenses by surprise a little bit last year and what he did when he came in? I think this is a guy you're going to have to key on going into the year. I think he's easily a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. I honestly believe that. But I think he's on a tier with your Dez Bryants, with your
Demaryius Thomas's,
with your pick one of those guys in Green Bay.
Yeah, A.J. Green.
He's on par 40. With these guys. He may be on the top of that tier. I think Matt Forte is in that top tier of running backs, which is getting thinner. I think Le'Veon Bell emerges in it. I think Jamal Charles drops out of that top tier. I think it's Bell. I think it's Forte. Give me another guy. I don't know. I mean, those are the two guys.
McCoy and Buffalo?
McCoy, maybe. That you have question marks in Buffalo, Lacy. And that's what knocked him out early. Lacy's a different kind of cat.
Right.
Lacy's more a Marshawn Lynch type of guy. You give me a running back, you know, we're basing this on a PPR format. You give me a running back who can pull in 100, I'll take that all day, Rick. And he won this thing last year, and statistically he didn't end up the number one guy, but he was pretty darn close. Love Odell Beckham. And just for fun, I want to move him on, and I want him to win this thing because I want to hitch my wagon to this kid. And I am going to so overdraft him. Listen now if you're going to be in a league with me. I am going to overdraft Odell Beckham. I have a serious, serious man crush on this kid. But for this tournament, for this matchup, Rick, I think it's Matt Forte. I can't leave those 100 grabs on the table. I just can't do it.
Yeah, you asked a question. Did Odell Beckham take the defenses by surprise last year? Yeah, maybe to start with, but 91 catches, over 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. I don't think, you know, they had these things called film and so forth at team study. I think they were aware of him after a few games.
Well, I'm not saying,
I'm not saying it to be, you know, to make light of what you're saying. I think he's this good.
Is
what I'm saying. And the only trouble that I have in this matchup, actually there's two. Number one, you brought up the good point. Matt Forte, 102 catches, over 800 yards, plus over 1,000 yards rushing. I take that all day long. I mean, that's crazy.
Jay Cutler ain't getting any better. He's going to need that bailout.
Number two is, I don't care what you say, it's still Eli Manning throwing to him.
Right.
And He had a bit of a resurgence last year, 4,400 yards, 30 touchdowns, still the 14 picks. I love Odell Beckham, and I'm like you. I mean, you know, note to self, draft Odell Beckham early to get him ahead of Fleeger. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, I love this kid. But by the same token, running back is so much thinner than wide receiver. I can get Demaryius Thomas or Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, who, by the way, was over 90 catches last year. You know, Manny Sanders, 101 catches. Not really even – he didn't even make the Elite Eight,
right,
for crying
right.
out loud. I didn't know he made the Sweet 16.
He didn't get out of the first round.
That's true. We'll have to look at that.
No, I think T.Y. Hilton knocked him out in the first round.
You're absolutely
down
right.
Down there in the bottom left, if I'm not mistaken,
yep,
down in the Midwest.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton in overtime over Manny Sanders. So that is the only reason – not the only reason. I think Matt Forte is just a phenomenon. I mean – even 85 catches.
Right.
Scratched 102. Even 85 catches. It's still phenomenal. I got to go Matt Forte to get to the Final Four again.
Again. Just keeps getting there. Keeps doing it consistently. So that's it. We've got the Final Four wrapped up. When we come back from the break, we will play these Final Four matchups. Le'Veon Bell against his teammate Antonio Brown. And Aaron Rodgers, the lone last quarterback standing, going up against our boy Matt Forte. We will get down to the championship round right after this. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, we've arrived at the Final Four in the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament.
Yes, we have. We are Fleeger and Briggs, and I wish we had a special guest on to help us with this one.
Yeah.
I do not like these matchups coming in. We have two ones against each other, East and the Midwest, and then we have a two versus a three. And we also have two Steelers. That's the two number one seeds. Le'Veon Bell versus Antonio Brown in the first final matchup. Semifinal matchup, excuse
me. Yeah, that's a brutal matchup, Rick. This is the guy I consider the number one fantasy running back going up against the guy I consider the number one fantasy wide receiver going into 2015. And can I say I don't know? Hey, we just leave it at that. Stop at the Final Four. We might have to do that. I am so torn on this one. And for this reason, Rick, philosophically, I'd give the edge of the running back. Give me the best running back over the best wide receiver. And I think, and you could talk me off this if you disagree, I think I'm going to lean that way for that reason. I think while Antonio Brown, I think, has separated himself from the likes of Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, all the guys in Green Bay, and anybody else you want to name, I'm sure I'm leaving a couple out. But that's my point. That position is so much deeper. When I look at the running backs, you know, who else made it out deep? Just Marshawn Lynch. I don't think he fits in that category. I have concerns about LeSean McCoy. I have concerns about Jamaal Charles. Yeah, we have Matt Forte in this Final Four. No real concerns there. While I don't have concerns about Antonio Brown, after Le'Veon Bell and Matt Forte, it's pretty muddy water as far as the running back position goes. And I think for that reason, Le'Veon Bell's gonna eke one out over Antonio Brown for me, just based on scarcity of the position. I think it's that simple for me.
You know, I'm looking at all different factors, but just look at the basics. Look at scoring, PPR system we used last year. Antonio Brown was the number one scoring wide receiver, obviously. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players. You got to the seventh player underneath him before you hit another wide receiver. Now you're talking Peyton Manning, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, and Drew Brees. All those quarterbacks. Antonio Brown outscored all those guys before you got to another wide receiver.
That's tough to argue with there, Rick. That's tough. That's a awesome stat, actually. That's tremendous.
Le'Veon Bell was behind DeMarco Murray, who I think he's going to take a step back this year.
He's taking a big step back. I really do.
Le'Veon Bell had 11 total touchdowns last year, 83 catches, 850 yards. Antonio Brown accounted for, what was it, 13, 15 touchdowns if you count the passing touchdown that he had
right
last year, because he can throw the ball as well. Almost 1,700 yards, 1,698 yards. This is so close to me. I just cannot, you know, just definitively say, well, you know, I really think. See, because I take injury factor. I guess when you start getting this close, you almost have to think of injury factor. I like my chances of having Antonio Brown every game better than Le'Veon Bell. Not saying Le'Veon Bell is an injury risk, but he's a running back, so therefore he is an injury risk.
Right.
When it comes right down to it that way. It is very scarce at running back. I understand that. But if I can go Antonio Brown and maybe get on my next pick a Jordy Nelson, I can live with pick somebody.
Yeah. C.J. Anderson, Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram, something of that ilk, and probably do well.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, and I brought up the philosophical part of it. We've discussed this in past shows. I guess we're going to answer definitively right here when you have, I think, clearly the two best. Has fantasy football changed to where the wide receiver is more valuable than the running backs? And I guess, so let's look at it this way. Let's use your example. If I have Antonio Brown and Jordy Nelson, and let's say Mark Ingram. That might not be the best example, but we'll go with it. Or what if I have Le'Veon Bell? Yeah, who am I going to get? Maybe McCoy. I think McCoy falls into – no, because I'm going to be at the top.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to be the first
McCoy
overall pick. So Le'Veon Bell, whoever that running back is, does DeMarco Murray fall that far? Someone on that lower second tier.
Justin Forsett, maybe. Something like that. I may be getting Forsett with Nelson and Brown.
Yeah,
you never could tell.
That'd be a good one there. Rick, you turned me. Yeah, I guess you did. You're putting your vote in for Antonio Brown, I take it.
In triple overtime.
Yeah.
I'm squeaking out Antonio Brown because I think this guy is a lock
right
as a top three wide receiver. In this scheme, the Todd Haley offense, who, by the way, no one – they still don't want to believe in Todd Haley.
Oh, no. The injuries around here, they hate him. Hate him. Want him dead. Want him hanging from the Roberto Clemente Bridge.
And you and I almost got into it when they hired him. I love the hire.
Yeah.
You hated it to start
with. Well, he's a jerk. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
But honestly, this scheme
it's
is
working.
Potent.
And it's perfect for Ben Roethlisberger, for all the resistance Roethlisberger gave it. This fits right into his game plan. Rick, you flipped me when you read the list of names, of quarterback names, i.e. Manning and Breeze, that Antonio Brown outscored. And the gap between Antonio Brown, the next wide receiver, and those big names in between – that stat won me over. It's Antonio Brown. It's so close. Philosophically, I take issue with it, but I'm with you, Rick. Antonio Brown squeaks one out and heads to the championship game.
All right.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
a
triple overtime win for Antonio Brown.
That made Kentucky Notre Dame look like a snoozer right there.
Yeah, it did, indeed. So, Antonio Brown is the first finalist in the 2015 Asylum brackets for the best fantasy football player.
All right, Rick, it doesn't get any easier here now. Aaron Rodgers taking on Matt Forte.
I know. This is one to me that is just awesome. I love Aaron Rodgers going into 2015. Everything that he did last year, I think, is a springboard for 2015 because they fell short. You know, I think of really expectations
right
and what they and potential. I really like Aaron Rodgers this year. I think Chicago is a mess. Matt Forte is still good, but like you said, kind of pedestrian, even those good catches. I don't think he has 102 catches this year. I'm going Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't think this one's quite as close. Again, I tend to, in the past, have devalued the quarterback position. And I'm going to tend to still do that. I'm not going to draft Aaron Rodgers in the first round. That's me. I'm not going to do it. But he's the only guy who's a top three-round pick going into this year as far as I'm concerned. You know, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, they're not in the same stratosphere as Aaron Rodgers. If I don't get Forte and I got Le'Veon Bell, I'm happy. You know what I mean? If I can get Antonio Brown or Aaron Rodgers, I can live with the next running back. I think we've seen the change, Rick, where it's come that running back is sort of devalued as a position of top priority in fantasy football. It's going to make it all the more important with the scarcity and having to hit in the middle rounds. But I'm with you, Rick. I think this one's Aaron Rodgers setting up just a dandy in the championship.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think Aaron Rodgers won in regulation, no overtime here, wasn't as close a game. I just think Forte and the Bears, with all the uncertainty with Cutler and so forth, I just think they're in line, and they don't have Brandon Marshall. They're just going to have to step back a little bit, and I think the Packers, it's their division to,
right.
And, to have.
And, there's
and
just
I love Aaron Rodgers.
There's absolutely zero question mark with Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
Absolutely none. You want to talk about injury? He put up all those numbers. He was banged up the whole end of the season, all the way through the playoffs, and was still getting the job done. So let's break here, Rick. When we come back, we will have the championship matchup of the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament, and we will do that right after this. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, it's time to crown a champion, Antonio Brown versus Aaron Rodgers, the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament Championship.
And I'm a little surprised. After the last couple of years that we've done this, it's usually, I don't know, we just never had.
Jamal Charles versus, who'd he take on?
Was it Peterson or Forte or somebody?
Doug Martin the first year. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that was hideous. Yeah, good thing we took Charles.
I don't remember who Matt Forte beat last year, but I'm fairly confident, Rick, it was probably a running back if I had to get. Times, they are a-changing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Antonio Brown, let's go back to the point I was making with Antonio Brown. In the Todd Haley scheme with Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger's locked in. He's not going anywhere. You have Le'Veon Bell, who triple overtime loser in the Final Four, is there. You have Martavis Bryant, who really emerged last year. Just another added weapon along with Marcus Wheaton. Yeah, Heath Miller's still a nice safety valve. Getting a little older, but he's still there. Antonio Brown is a lock for 100-plus catches.
Right.
I got to go Antonio Brown. And everything I said about Aaron Rodgers, the value aspect of Rodgers is where he is going to be so strong, where it's very close for me. Last year, Antonio Brown was going mid-second to early third.
Right. Not this year.
Not this year.
No.
But you're still going to be able to get your Aaron Rodgers probably in the second round. Now you're
late first, early second.
Something like that. It depends on the league. Some of the leagues I'm in, you get a mid-second maybe.
Right.
And that's just the way the quarterbacks are. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers' value, I think, is going to be better than Antonio Brown, but I think Antonio Brown is just that type of player. He is a lock. Dez Bryant, if he doesn't score 17 touchdowns, he's only got the 85 catches.
Right.
And only. I'm not making light of his stats because he puts up incredible yardage for the amount of catches he has. Maybe not the best example, but I just really love – I mean – right now, Antonio Brown is Wes Welker on steroids because he scores touchdowns. Yeah, Wes Welker never really packed in that many touchdowns, even with New England.
No.
It was Gronk.
Right.
Antonio Brown. In a very tight buzzer beater, I'm going Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to a metric you used last time. I think we can both agree these guys are going to perform fairly equal to where they performed last year, right, Rick? Can we say that fairly comfortably?
Last year, Aaron Rodgers was the number one fantasy scoring player. Antonio Brown was the number three.
Right. And if you look at it positionally, Aaron Rodgers, while the best fantasy quarterback in the league, Beat Andrew Luck by 6 points.
Right.
Beat Peyton Manning by
50.
By
roughly.
About 50. So that's where your drop off is. Between Antonio Brown and Demaryius Thomas, Rick, you're looking at about a 70-point swing there, 60, 70-point swing.
And that's between one and two.
Right, right.
Not one. What was it, the 6 points between one and two at quarterback?
Right. And I think that's what sets him apart. I think there's guys where I said it in the last segment, and this is where maybe it's my anti-quarterback bias. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to spend that first-round draft pick on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to do it. If I can get I would feel comfortable, Rick, in saying Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, you're going to see a quarterback run in the mid-third round of your fantasy draft where those guys are going to go. I'm going to have to spend a first-round pick to get Aaron Rodgers. If you can give me Antonio Brown in the first round and Andrew Luck in the third and plug any name you want in the middle, I'll take that all day, buddy, all day. It's just not to degrade anything. What do you love about Aaron Rodgers is right down 4,000 yards, right down 35 touchdowns. It's going to happen. There's no question about it. But there's going to be a couple of guys, i.e. Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning probably. You know, hopefully Drew Brees gets it back on track. Maybe Tom Brady. You don't know. There's going to be equal value. If Antonio Brown does anything close to what he did last year, there isn't much in the way of equal value for Antonio Brown.
I agree. I mean, you take Aaron Rodgers. If you go down, and let's go seven quarterbacks down from him, because, I mean, you're talking, you give me Andrew Luck, you give me Peyton Manning. Okay, I understand that. You go down seven quarterbacks from him in scoring last year, and you are in Matt Ryan and Eli Manning territory. You are between 100 and 120 points behind Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Okay? That's very significant. You go down seven wide receivers from Antonio Brown last year, which is Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, kind of along with me, Dez Bryant is three below him. Manny Sanders is four. Beckham is five. Randall Cobb is six. So then I have to go to the next page of fantasy players to get to the seventh wide receiver below him, which was Jeremy Maclin. 288.8 points as opposed to Antonio Brown's 412. It's not as big as you would think, but it's still bigger. It's 100.
Right.
And what is that, 30, 35 points, something
I'm
like
not,
that.
You're the math guy, not me. So that's it, Rick. Congratulations.
What?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I'm furthering my point. But you go seven quarterbacks down, 100 points, seven wide receivers. There's a lot more wide receivers in there.
Right.
I don't know. Antonio Brown, it's a huge difference.
I'd feel better with Matt Ryan as my quarterback than with Jeremy Maclin as my number one wide receiver, to use that framework you had. That, Rick, sews
exactly.
It up for me. Congratulations. Antonio Brown is, in fact, your 2015 Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament champion.
Well, you're more than welcome, Antonio. He's kind of slapping us on the back here.
He's thrilled.
Yeah.
There it is. One shiny moment for Antonio Brown. Let's break here. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. Wrapping up an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, we've had the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. That's a tournament been on everybody's mind, but there's this other tournament going on. I think it's college basketball or something. Final Four coming up today as you hear this on Saturday. Championship on Monday. You're a college basketball guy. Rick, what's your prediction in the Final Four? Anybody beat Kentucky?
I have two of my Final Fours from my bracket still alive. One of them is Kentucky. I actually had Kentucky and Duke in the final. But I tell you what, I think the most dangerous team to Kentucky right now is Michigan State.
It could be.
They dismantle teams that they have no business dismantling.
Right.
I mean, they lose 10, 11 games during the year, catch fire. I mean, this is Tom Izzo. And, I mean, they come through. They beat NC State by 10. They take down Louisville, you know. And they just steam to peak. However, my prediction, I'm going Kentucky. That's who I took in my brackets. They're still alive. This team, to me, when they're playing, head and shoulders over everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I think I'm going to pick Kentucky, too, to be on the safe side. In my opinion, if anybody can take them out, it may be Wisconsin. Notre Dame showed me something in that game, a game I think Notre Dame should have won. Yeah, had they maybe doubled down on Towns a little bit. But everybody thought if Notre Dame was going to have a shot against that team, they were going to have to go in and shoot the lights out. Rick, Mike Bray, and what was a stroke of genius, he spread the floor a little bit, got those bigs out, and they beat Notre Dame beat Kentucky at the rim. Wisconsin's better equipped to handle that. And you got Kaminsky, if you got him posting up Towns, and if he can drag him out to the three-point line, they're going to have to get some scoring. I don't think they can do it. I think that's the best chance to do it. I think Duke... They're just too good for Michigan State. And Michigan State gets in these runs, and we know what Tom Izzo does in the tournaments. He gets to a ton of Final Fours, Rick. He doesn't win a ton of championships.
No, that's
true. And I think you're running into a buzzsaw here in this Notre Dame thing. And I'm really looking forward, almost hoping, for that Kentucky-Duke matchup. And in that one, I think it's a close game, but I think there's too many bigs there. I think Kentucky wins it. It's not an exciting, you know, prediction, obviously.
Right.
But 40-0, congratulations to all these teams. Love what Izzo does. I think Duke's going to just be way too much for them. I think if anybody's going to nip Kentucky, it'll be Wisconsin. But I think in the end, the best team's going to emerge.
I think there's 25 Final Fours in this group of coaches total.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, going real quickly, you know, Jay Billis brought up a great point. Teams that usually hung with Kentucky – At the end of the say the third quarter, you know, midway through the second half, we're gassed. Where Kentucky
right.
doesn't look that way.
Yeah.
Notre Dame kind of stayed fresher. Wisconsin has to somehow stay fresh to keep up with
them. And they don't go as deep as Kentucky. And that's the problem with Duke. Duke only goes about 7 or 8 deep. So that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations, Antonio Brown. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.